Empty backfield once again. Daniels looking. Moving to his left. Under pressure. Stays on his feet. And now he throws to the end zone and is caught for a touchdown by McLaurin.
It's almost Kenny Albert season on Sunday afternoon. Won't be long before we're welcoming him back into our living room via our high-definition televisions. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, exclusively sponsored by the law firm Kondorian Murat. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, they do whatever you need. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family. Schedule a consultation with them today, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Where were you? What was your reaction when you saw that Terry McLaurin signed for 3 years and $96 million?
I at first thought, like any news that breaks now, is this a prank? Is this some link I'm supposed to click on where it's like, you suck, or like, you know, you clicked on this deal and it's a picture that's inappropriate for work or something to that effect. I then, of course, looked around a little bit. I saw enough people had it that I said, okay, this is very, very real. That's excellent news. It continued walking my 7-month-old around the neighborhood.
I was in the car with Chris Russell. We were on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway.
Come on.
Headed south from Baltimore. And I'm on my phone. I don't know what I was doing, texting somebody or looking something up. And I got a notification because I have Adam Schefter's tweets sent to my phone. And right away I saw, you know, breaking and McLaurin. And I thought, here we go.
Here we go.
And I just yelled out, McLaurin deal. And Russell's like, what? What happened? What? And then I like looked down and there it was. Schefter, who 1 hour earlier had said they're not near each other on the deal, that he hasn't heard that any progress has been made. He doesn't think any progress is being made. Now, Jordan Schultz broke it. He's very close, it seems like, with Buddy Baker and has had a lot of intel throughout the process. So kudos to him. But then really within 5 minutes, all of the national guys, the Pelisseros and the Rappaports, you know, they all got the group text and everybody was on that thing. Doesn't seem like the team has commented in any way. We've gotten the numbers from the McLaurin side of things. We've not gotten the team-friendly numbers yet, and we're awaiting the guaranteed money to see exactly what this looks like.
And my guess is, and I don't know anything, I haven't talked to anybody, but that's very much the, look at the biggest possible number, agent. That's how to sift through that, right? Where the agent wants everyone to know, my tactics, my techniques, my advice got us to this point of this unbelievable, huge, massive deal. The team doesn't care.
That's the agent's job.
That's their job.
I mean, that's not even a guess.
No, I wouldn't be critical of it.
But, right, but I'm just saying, you're saying your guess. I mean, that it came from the agent, so that's exactly what it was. That's what they do every single time. They're not going to tell you, hey, this is actually just a 2-year deal.
Yeah, it's going to revert to two and a little bit less.
$56 million.
And they can cut them whenever they want. No, but so the team is letting everybody, they're going, enjoy your time in the sun. That's kind of my read on it.
And normally, this is insignificant and doesn't matter. Like, we don't spend so much time. When Javon Kinlaw gets this massive contract, it isn't as big a deal as everyone makes it out to be. We don't necessarily just look right at the guaranteed money and talk about how the AAV is irrelevant. But this is different than that. This was quite literally the biggest stare down in the history of the team between a superstar, important leader in the locker room and the front office. We've never had anything drag out like this in real time, certainly in the modern era with social media. This is just, it hasn't happened. That's what's so amazing, by the way. McLaurin, the team guy, you know, the model citizen, the ultimate professional, is the first guy to do this. I mean, there's an irony to that that is, frankly, absolutely amazing. And it's not like he just chose to. It takes two to tango. Both sides were heavily involved here. The team could have just overpaid him and said, you earned it. They didn't. The player could have taken a hometown discount and said he wanted to hang around because playing with Jaden Daniels is going to be a godsend. He wasn't willing to do that either. And so the game of chicken began. But we're burying the lead, which is months of this story. And frankly, weeks of it leading and dominating our airwaves and any pixels about this team come to a close once and for all today. And thank goodness, because they've got 13 days, Danny, before they're playing a game that counts, that they've got to win as a 6.5-point favorite against a division foe at home.
Yeah. Got to get off to a good start.
You need that one, man.
The schedule don't get easy.
Schedule. 100%. Brutal schedule. Not early, necessarily. The first quarter is probably the easiest quarter, wouldn't you say?
If you're comparing on paper, yeah.
But the fact that you get to play the Giants in week one, the NFC East, remember, plays the two divisions this year where they had three playoff teams last year. AFC West, NFC North. They play both of those divisions this season. That's not fun. So you've got to beat the worst team in your division when you play them at home. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's week one. It's not ideal, but it's what has to happen.
Yeah, weird stuff happens. You haven't played well against the Giants in years. Even when you beat them twice last year, it was hairy both of those times. Again, neighbors makes the catch. Their kicker doesn't pull a hamstring or quad or whatever that was pregame. Maybe you drop one, maybe both. Who knows? But it's imperative to get off to a good start because the vibes, despite the cloud of McLaurin, again, whoever you want to blame them, enjoy it, get mad, yell at me, yell at Grant, whoever you feel like yelling at. That's fine. But the cloud of it was kind of belying there's a lot of feeling of ourselves in terms of the fan base, maybe in terms of the organization, looking at the preseason that didn't really inspire a ton of confidence in terms of their performances or what they put on tape or playing a lot of guys, et cetera. Weird stuff happens in week one. An opponent that I think is going to be frisky, not good, but better than they were last year, certainly in terms of some competence and a defense that has given you some problems. That's a losable game, as is week two at Green Bay, a losable game on short rest. The point is, you don't have a lot of time if you want to go where everybody seems to think they can go, to sort of go, oh, well, it's just week one. Oh, it's just week two. I was just really a 1-3 start. You don't have time for that. You cannot dig into holes with Kansas City and the Chargers and the Seahawks and Lions and Broncos and Vikings looming.
How different are your expectations with McLaurin back in the fold? That's the question for you right now on Grant and Danny at 800-636-1067. We're live all over the DMV on our flagship 106.7. We're live right now in Richmond for the next 3 hours, AM 910, FM 105.1. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream, which, by the way, is hopping today. So we appreciate everybody checking us out there. We do this every day from 2 to 6:30, so make this an appointment. Put it on the smart TV if you want to see our mugs. But how different do you feel about the offense? How different do you feel about the team's goals? I mean, my succinct answers on this would be the offense goes from average without him, and that's with Jaden Daniels making a bad group average, to above average immediately and a chance to be elite again. When you look at some of their yards per play, their points per drive metrics, some of the deeper dive numbers for them last year in EPA, this tandem, Daniels and McLaurin, was top three quarterback receiver in all of football. So I think that maybe it's not right away against the Giants, but when he has his sea legs under him, when he's in football shape, your offense has a chance to be special. If Deebo Samuel's healthy and Terry McLaurin is himself, I don't think you lost anything really in terms of the upside of your running game with Brian Robinson now in San Francisco officially traded over the weekend. So I feel like a solid offense got really good again because you have your best player who made all your biggest plays, literally not figuratively, last year in terms of yardage. And you've added the weapon that is Deebo at a great camp. Noah Brown looks like he's going to be ready for week one. If he could stay healthy, what an addition that would be. I mean, we've been thinking about this thing without him as well. He looked great running around at Northwest Stadium before the preseason game. How different do you feel about the goals? Well, without Terry McLaurin, I thought it was going to be really hard to make the playoffs. It would be Jaden Daniels' kind of heroic MVP-type effort to get you to 10 wins and the wild card. With McLaurin, this is a double-digit win playoff team for me. You know, he is worth a win and a half, too. I don't know what his war would be, but the idea of him making huge plays in a chunk yardage league and then not having him and not having anyone on the team that can replace him, it is a couple of win difference. So I would have gone from 8 or 9 wins without him to now 10 or 11 wins. I mean, that is the difference to me for this football team. So I've got them squarely in the playoffs. I don't think they win the division. I think Philly's better, but I like them as a wild card team. I like them with double-digit victories. And by the way, I don't think Saquon Barkley stays healthy all year. He had a massive workload, one of the larger touch totals we've ever seen.
Yeah, we've got a correlation there in historically, too, by the way, totally. When that happens. Yeah,
it's very rare you ever see a guy get as much work as he did last year playing all the way to the Super Bowl. It has almost never happened that the next year a guy plays in every game and stays healthy. So if he's not out there, all of a sudden the Eagles come back to the pack a little bit. And you wonder, how does Washington close the gap? There it is. But you needed McLaurin to be able to do that. Let's go to Jay in L.A. Is that Los Angeles? What's up, Jay?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up? What's up, guys? I think the offense won't look too different. You got to remember that Jalen only played one series this preseason. So even if Terry has suited up, odds are he wouldn't have been targeted, and he'd probably be sitting with the rest of the starters anyway for the remaining games. So, you know, I'm still curious to see how this wide receiver core as a unit kind of shapes out, because I think there are still question marks there. We haven't really seen Jaden throw a lot of balls in real-life game situations. But, Grant, I got to give you credit. You nailed it. You said August 25th, line in the sand. So, once you know it, the deal gets done today. And, Danny, I love you. I think your framing has been a little bit off with Terry. You know, I know you've been saying throwing his tantrum. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think Terry did miss a game. He didn't tear down the franchise, and he simply did what every great player does. He protected himself until the team paid him what he earned.
Thanks, buddy.
I heard that, yeah.
So the only thing I'm going to push back on from that call is the idea that he wouldn't have gotten work in the preseason, wouldn't have gotten a target. True. I don't really care about the game part of this, because Zach Ertz didn't play in the preseason. We're not talking
about
neither
that. Neither did Bobby Wagner.
Neither did Laremy Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the dozens, the hundreds, literally hundreds of reps that all these guys have had together on the practice field. The joint practices that supposedly mean so much with New England. The burgundy and gold scrimmage they had. The bringing in the refs over the weekend. Like all of, I guess it was late last week. All of those practices, I don't know the exact number, but it's hundreds of times that Deebo Samuel's been on the field for a rep. And there have been dozens of targets from Jaden throwing to him in a game situation. Not in an actual preseason game, but while they're playing live football. Dozens, like I'm making up a number, but 57 times, let's say, that's happened over the last 6 weeks. Zero for McLaurin. That's just a sizable difference that I have to imagine means something. Let's go to Alex in D.C. What's up, Alex?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Mike and Dylan. Thanks for having to find something new to talk about now every day.
We'll be just fine when the football season starts, I promise
you. The season is here, so this will work itself out.
So, I always thought this would get done because Adam Peters is reasonable, but he has an MO. Terry McLaurin seems like a reasonable person, and he was right to hold out for what he thought he was worth. And my only disappointment is that they took so long to compromise when I kind of knew that they were going to come to this point anyway. It's about the number I would have guessed, assuming that what's coming out is true. But ultimately, all this reminds me of that one quote from Bobby Wagner at the beginning of camp: football is a business, but this is none of our business. They kind of made it our business by him holding out, but, you know, the details of it and how they chose to get to it and everything like that. But at the end of the day, he has to do what he needed to do to get paid. The Peters had to do what he needed to do to protect cap room. So, you know, they worked it out, and I'm thrilled. My expectation is similar to Grant's, that they will make it to the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens from there.
But thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
He could have made it not our business. You know, they could have done that. The way you do that is to operate behind the scenes privately. They elected not to.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not at practice, it becomes people's business. You know, when you, and I don't mean like getting into your pocket of how much you're going to make, but you cannot expect that fans and a media covering the team are just going to go, well, Terry's working out a contract, so let's just give him and the team some space and not worry about the wide receiver one being on the field and the betterment of the team being at stake for this thing that people are investing tens of thousands of dollars into. Sorry, that's just not real life. That's kind of the tone on social media with, like, you guys are doing nasty work talking about Terry like this. No, we're just grown-ups having a conversation, providing analysis you don't like. It's not really nasty work. You just disagree with it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I always tried to couch and cash everything in a certain way that I am not, you know, besmirching anybody's character or knocking someone down, or even, again, I offered so many examples. I have a friend from high school who got cast aside by a professional football team because they were going to have to pay his pension. You know what I mean? Like, and it changed his life, where he couldn't get that extra year just because, like, yeah, we'll find an undrafted free agent to do what he does on special teams and as a fullback, et cetera. This league is cruel. It is a miserable, terrible setup for a lot of these players in this 100% injury rate attrition league. I understand trying to get as much as you can, and we'll never begrudge that.
You haven't answered the question yet. Let me pivot to you for this. How different are your season expectations, offensive expectations, with Terry in the fold for whatever that looks like in the opening week?
Yeah, hard to quantify the gap there. Without him, even with the magic of Jaden Daniels, this to me is just another 7-8 win team. Maybe you get a break, maybe you don't. Like, it's the defense is better, so what? The offense, I like Deebo Samuel too, but it's gimmicks. It's close to line of scrimmage stuff. They're defensible without Terry McLaurin. They don't have a downfield threat. Now they do. And I don't think they'll have it initially. I think they're going to be sluggish out of the gate the first few weeks of the season. I really do. Maybe you win a couple on guts, and if you're close and Jaden Daniels has the football, maybe you find a way to win it, maybe you don't. Last year, they certainly found a way to win all those games, it seemed like. But at the end, if you've got him, if he's healthy, if he's Terry McLaurin, and he grows into that as he gets in football shape and gets the reps, now you've got that top five, top six offense potentially again. And I think that, to me, was what was at stake.
Yeah, they had no chance of replicating last year's offense without him.
Right.
Which was an elite group. Now, Daniels is going to be what I would consider to be an elevator, where like everyone around them is going to benefit, and just because of the dual threat ability. Because you saw it with the 14-yard touchdown scramble. That is a play where if you have a really good passing quarterback that can't run, the play is dead in the water.
Yeah, he throws it out of the back of the end zone.
I loved Kirk Cousins as a pocket passer and think, you know, he does so many things pre-snap that people never give him credit for. And it's like, it's just my style. You hate me all you want to. Like, I like a guy that stands there and reads it out and hits the open guy and gives ball placement. That play is dead with him in his prime because he goes, number one, not open, number two, not open, number three, not open, pat, 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 sack.
Yeah, alarm clock, got
to
go. Yeah,
whatever. Throw the ball away probably to avoid the sack. Jaden Daniels goes, one, two, three, got to go. And he just takes off and he scored a 14-yard touchdown on a play when it was called in at his headset that had no chance based on the coverage. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or it had a small chance, but as he put it, a little bit late getting back to number two with Debo. Now you're cooked. Now I'm dead in the water. No, I'm not. Do, 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 do. What's the Superman theme? Silly.
Thank you.
So much better than what I did. So then he puts the cape on.
Yeah, yours was kind of like the King's coming down the steps with the purple.
Was. It wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the James Gunn Superman where he gets beat up the whole time.
Right.
It was like nothing. There was nothing there. But anyway, he just scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that's the superpower. That's the beauty. That's why it's awesome. That's why everyone's doing this, by the way. Everybody wants that. Nobody wants the other thing. Oh, you're just an awesome passer that just stands in the pocket and picks people apart? Have fun in another league. You can't play in this one anymore.
You're not welcome
here. That's kind of the perception at this point is, do you run a 4-4-40? And so, even though he's great in that way, you need the easy button player that can make the big plays. And it's got to be beyond just Debo, who has not proven that he could stay healthy at this point of his career. Oh, by the way. You're not banking on having him 17 times in 18 weeks. When he's there, it's going to be amazing, hopefully. It'll be better than he was last year. No pneumonia, better shape. Like, there's going to be... How many times is that the case? What about the weeks where Debo doesn't play?
Right.
If Terry's not on this roster.
Then what?
It's Luke McCaffrey, Noah Brown, and Jalen Lane? Like, that's what you're doing? Then you need that Superman sound from Jaden Daniels again. It's actually really good.
Thanks. That's not the gazoo one that I do. That's the side of the
What's
mouth
the
trumpet.
What's the gazoo one?
There's that one. That's the gazoo sound.
Oh, I like the first one better.
Yeah, yeah.
The gazoo one's good too.
The gazoo one's a little bit different. That's good for video game sound effects. For like, for example, what does it sound like when Super Mario jumps? You go down to the basement level. Remember that?
I love that one.
Right.
What about, do you have anything for Batman? That's my favorite.
But then I can't do the Hans Zimmer one where it's just a like the whole beginning scene, you know, which is one note.
It's just
terrifying.
But it's a terrifying piano note.
Just the one sound.
800-636-1067. How did you feel about this offense when you were preparing for life without Terry McLaurin? And how different is that today? 3-year extension, under contract for 4 years. We're awaiting some specifics on the deal, but it's not what's important. He is back. We're Grant and Danny.
Terry McLaurin, who had been staging one of the NFL's most high-profile hold-ins, has agreed to terms on a 3-year deal worth up to $96 million. That is the contract extension. Gets a $30 million signing bonus and has the opportunity to earn more than any receiver over the age of 30. Okay. It has been a long road for McLaurin. I'd like to know the final details of this deal to see how close it actually came to DK Metcalf's $33 million. That is what he wanted. Didn't get to the 33. And I believe the base is going to be lower because 96 is the max. So my guess is it's closer to the $30 million mark than the 32?
Well, if that's true, and the 3 years is closer to like 90 million, because it's very different how it's going to be reported, right? 3 and 96 is different than a maximum of 96. A maximum of 96 means if these things all go right, he could actually make 96, and that means it's 32 million per year. Where if it's 3 and, I'm just making up numbers, but like 84 or 3 and 90 with a max of 96, that's very, very different. Now the AAV is down to 28 or 30 million. And when you add in this year's AAV, which is actually lesser, you look at it as a 4 year deal. Whereas right now that takes it from 32 per on new money to 30 mil over 4 years. Now it could be down closer to like 25 million per year, what he's actually going to be making over the next 4 years. So we'll see as we sort out the money. That was Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport of NFL Media, talking Terry McLaurin there. But the deal is done. He will be on the practice field this week, and he is lined up now to play against the New York Giants in week one. Looking at the wide receiver room, in a world where Terry McLaurin is back and Noah Brown is available, you have McLaurin, Debo, Noah Brown as your receivers more often than not out there. Now you've got, I think next guy up is Jalen Lane.
Jalen Lane.
For me, he has supplanted Luke McCaffrey, who's probably still a roster lock, but let's say McCaffrey is the fifth guy. Do you think they keep a sixth wide receiver that is on the roster? They're cutting down to 53 as we speak. They're not going to announce anything until the cutdown day is officially tomorrow, I guess. But McLaurin, Brown, Samuel, Lane, McCaffrey, those five guys I think you can put in Sharpie. Luke, because he was a third-round pick last year, more than any other reason. Anybody else, whether that's the young undrafted free agent, Ja'Cory Brooks, whether that's one of the veterans who have been around, Chris Moore, Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne, is there someone else you'd keep, or do they keep five, or could they keep a six that's not on the team yet?
That's the variable that I was just getting ready to go with. Because remember, that's how Noah Brown happened, right? Was a sort of, hey, we didn't expect this guy to be available. Now that's our plan for our number two receiver. So maybe they'll be, you know, active on the waiver wire. It all sort of depends on if they need the numbers for special teams. I know Osborne didn't play special teams last year, but, you know, maybe one of those other guys is a special teams type player, but that's the group. And I think if you end up missing out on somebody because you try to put them on the practice squad or otherwise, maybe so be it. But I would still bet, because you got to make up numbers somewhere. I think that's going to end up being 10 defensive linemen just because of how rotational they're going to be, and it's going to be like hockey shifts at times with some of those guys. So you've got to make room for someone somewhere. Maybe it's at quarterback if they only keep two. But to me, that may be one of the spots where you go, we're going to try to get away with five instead of six.
So I just looked this up. Do you remember when last year Washington signed Noah Brown?
Not specifically. It was August at some point, wasn't it?
So take a guess. What do you think the date was?
August 10th.
So the reason I asked is because I thought it was like a couple weeks earlier than right now. They signed him on August 28th.
My God.
It was actually this week.
Like tomorrow.
It was cut down day. So it was like basically now the season started, if I remember correctly, a few days later. So this is a September 7th kickoff. Last year, I think, was the 10th or the 11th or something. But even still, it was basically effectively right now at cut down time, which was later than I thought. I thought he got cut during camp earlier, and he was available, and they claimed him. Maybe cutdown day was 4 or 5 days after that. I'd have to look that up. But, yeah, it was basically a year ago this week that they signed Noah Brown, who ended up being super important as early as week two. I mean, when they beat the Giants, their game-winning drive, he had the big catch to get him going from Jaden Daniels. Let's go to Zeke in Southeast D.C. Zeke, how different are your expectations based on McLaurin being signed?
Basically, my expectations are that we're going to have a great year. But with Terry, I don't think he's going to have any rest at all, because I got to remind you guys, only thing he missed was practice, man. It's just practice.
That's true.
And
we're talking about practice. Not a game.
We're talking about practice.
Not a game. Not the game that I love. Not the game that I die for.
Hold on.
We're talking about practice.
And then our other starters only played four downs in the preseason, so I think everybody's going to be a little rusty that first game. But Terry and Jaden, they have a history, man. They done spent all last year, OTA, training camp, season, playoff. They know each other.
Thanks, buddy.
They do.
Was he doing an Allen Iverson thing, or was he being serious that practice doesn't matter?
I actually think it was more towards the latter.
That matters much. But it seemed like he wasn't doing that.
No, I think you took the quote and turned it into a bit, which I'm totally fine with, by the way.
I was trying to go, not even Allen Iverson, I was trying to go
Ted Lasso doing Iverson. Yeah.
Yeah, the lasso version of it.
Yeah, but talking
so,
to Jamie.
So this must be a thing out there that I didn't know about, where people just think practice is a big dumb waste of time.
Yes,
because that's what I'm starting to hear from everyone. Like,
so
what, man? He missed all the training camp, the whole offseason, every hour, every second, every minute on the grass. They don't need to do that anyway.
Yeah, we're getting blasted in the YouTube chat because they think we're accusing Terry of like not exercising or something crazy. So, but that's kind of the point here, is that people don't understand the distinction, and that's, you know, fine, I suppose. But we're trying to let you know that there is one. There's a reason they go about it, and there's a reason I was so annoyed that they couldn't have joint practices with the Ravens, because that was where the best work was going to come, the closer to the regular season.
So do people think that if they all just showed up today on August 25th, that they'd look the same and everything would be the exact same on September 7th, as if they went through the entire offseason that they just went through? Because if your answer to that is no, I'm not really understanding exactly why you're acting like him missing what he did is completely irrelevant. But yes, do I think he's in shape? Dude, Terry McLaurin's not me. He's not walking around in his neighborhood a couple times at night and going, all right, put in my 8,000 steps today.
I did it. Got to 10K.
I get it. He is absolutely in unbelievable shape. It's a little different than playing a football game, having not played football since January. Let's go to Burgos in Gaithersburg. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Yo, so I just watched the Terry Top 100 NFL video, and it got me hyped, so I'm riddled with a little bit of emotion right now. But I think our ceiling without Terry is probably around 500 fighting for wild card, similar to what you guys were saying. With him, the ceiling is 12 wins, you know, NFC championship run. I just don't think very highly of our non-Terry skill guys. I don't think we're super talented, honestly. The scary but funny thing is JD is so ridiculously transcendent. This could be completely wrong, and maybe the delta isn't that much different. That's kind of the crazy part. I will say I'm a little bit worried about his durability and injury as he gets, you know, 30-plus over these next couple of years, but hopefully that's not the case. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, I think if you were to look at this skill group with Marcus Mariota, I'd have some major questions. I think Daniels does uncover guys when he's out of the pocket, creating and extending, and now you got to hang with Austin Ekeler in the flat a little longer. You got to keep hip to hip with Chris Rodriguez if he's, you know, running a, you know, an arrow route or whatever. Like, I get the point. In a vacuum, any one of these players outside of Terry, maybe Debo, whatever, there's no one that you're writing home about. But I think when you look at a lot of Super Bowl teams, you could say the same thing. Like the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, even a team that got there, I know they lost last year, but Travis Kelce was the worst version of himself that he's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, he's a gold jacket guy, but like he wasn't an elite tight end last year. He's actually looks a lot better and faster, but he was bigger and slower and not in the same shape and banged up. Does that Chiefs team blow you away when you look in a vacuum at Pacheco or some running back like Kareem Hunt that they sign off the street that gets 14 touches in an AFC championship game? It's Mahomes, man. You know, it's what's the commercial? It's the meat, or it's the something stupid. What is it?
I don't know where you're going with this one.
There's a
I'm fishing around in the dark.
Maybe
here.
It's a like
where's the beef
thing? It's something stupid.
Keep it simple, stupid?
No. It's somebody knows.
It's the economy
saying.
Stupid?
It's that one. It's the economy stupid.
But the economy's Pat Mahomes? Oh, I get it.
It's the quarterback stupid. You see what I'm saying? Like the Bills? Let's look at them in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
James Cooks looks like he's a good player, right? They figured that out halfway through the year when they started using him last year. But it's been Devin Singletary. It's been, is Khalil Shakir like awesome? I don't know. They have Curtis Samuel. I know they have Curtis Samuel.
They do have him.
We saw that thing happen here, that act. Something named to Curtis Samuel. Like, we've done that.
Uh-huh.
Is that a great group?
No.
It's the quarterback. It's the MVP QB. And if Washington has that guy, which I think a lot of us are assuming and hoping they do, then it's going to work. Greater than the sum of the parts. Alejandro in the district, what's up?
Hello, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Well, I want to say hopefully the offense doesn't miss a beat this season, at the start of the season, because of Terry didn't practice, they pretty much missed all camp. And I want to say I'm happy for him. Like, he deserves the money. He deserves what was asking. Probably north of DK Metcalf contract, but at least he deserved being under between 30 and 32 per year. So if the team saw this was going to happen, I don't know why the team, the front office, decided to drag all these things pretty much 2 weeks before the opening.
So I think you're onto something, Alejandro, if this ends up being what it is. If he's actually going to get $64 million guaranteed over the first couple of years of this deal, and it's a true $32 million per, then I will stand in brothers in arms with you, and I'll say, what a waste of time. This was so dumb. I bet that's not what's happening.
Right. So the truth will always be in the eye of the beholder on this one. Right now, it's the agent's time, so everyone can easily, and I'm not ripping Alejandro, but you can go, I can't believe the team did this. And by the way, there's a school of thought on that separate of this, meaning whether you think the agent or the team won the negotiation, quote unquote, you can also go, why would you jerk around with this guy? Why wouldn't you just sign this the golden child who's done everything right at all times for multiple regimes and has been through all the misery here? This is your leader. If you're not going to do right by him, who will you do right by? Right? I mean, by the way, a reasonable school of thought to me, not one I necessarily subscribe to, but I understand that. So to me, there's like two categories when it comes to it. But when we start to dig into the numbers, we'll have a narrative maybe of more who caved, who met whom in the middle, and how it actually worked.
We'll give you an update on the Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League that we are putting together, and we'll hit our double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're with you until 6:30 today on The Fan. Terry McLaurin signs a 3-year extension. Happened this afternoon, just after 11:30 or so. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Our continuing coverage of the big story of the day is brought to you on The Fan by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Today, it's time for our double play. I'll make mine short and sweet. Danny, I know it was your birthday this weekend, so I want to hear about that. My credit card expires at the end of this month.
Oh.
I guess that means that all of the stuff that I have, like the apps, like Netflix or whatever, that it just pays automatically, when they hit, like this month, it's for next month or something, because a lot of them are being declined and it's saying that it's no longer good even though it goes through the end of this month. And I bring this up only to tell you there's nothing more annoying.
It is than having such a pain in the biscuits
to get a new credit card or update your credit card and then going through and seeing all the things you never think about that are just supposed to, it's supposed to happen automatically.
Yep.
The internet and the cable and the this and the that. And I think I was up to like 16 things last night. I'm going through going, it's all just turning off all around me. Nothing's working because my card is just telling them, nope, you can't use me.
That's old fraudulent Paulson over there.
But yeah, that's where we're at. It was just a big night of trying to figure out how to get access to all of the accounts that I've had for 4 years without any issue until my card went bad.
It's one of the things you have to do as an adult. I mean, I had something, this was a little while ago, but where we weren't sure, but we thought maybe the card got compromised. Happens to everybody. So, you know, order a new one. And like, you know, for the most part, you update everything you could possibly think of. You're the Instacart this, or the cable company that, or everything you're talking about. Well, I tried to pay for parking, and I'm like, the stupid app doesn't work anymore. Like, whatever, the Pay Now or Park Mobile. And I'm like infuriated
by
it.
Why haven't done Park Mobile yet?
Yeah. So then I
write that down.
Well, there you go. So then I finally looked. I'm like in the thing because I'm in a rush trying to park. And I finally looked into the thing, and it was like, 7 credit cards before is what was saved in there. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, I get why it wasn't working. This one's on me.
Don't they send you your card well in advance so that this doesn't happen?
I thought so.
And by the way, also, which didn't happen, shouldn't they, like, I don't feel like I should have to get a new card. I think it should just update and then it should just keep rolling over. But I guess when you have to punch in the expiration date on everything,
it's going
to
be new.
There's not a whole lot you could do about that.
Yeah, it should already be there for my money. Time for my double play. 46. Awful. The worst.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
It was officially Saturday.
Yeah. Yep. Undramatic. Unspecial. I mean, thanks to my family and everybody that had nice words and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, man, I don't know. I think for me, honestly, you handled it better than I did. When I turned 30, there was no joy in that for me. And that's a long time ago now, 16 years. Seriously, 16 years. But when I turned 30,
it's so old.
It was like, I was in a funk. Not in like a good way either, but like I was in a mired, surly, pissed off, disappointed, everything sucks slump. And I realized, you know, after a long while, it took me a long way to a time to kind of get out of that. It ain't good anymore. We're already moved on to Cincinnati. Like my son's birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks, and that's what we're excited about. He's going to do this. We're going to go to Dick Golf Balls, or maybe we're going to run out of movie theater. Whatever he wants to do is fine. They're excited, and that's fun, and it shouldn't be. It's just this. It's this chore for everybody where you got to be nice to dad for almost an hour. Like everybody would just be better off going about their day. You know what I mean? Just you send me a card. Appreciate all the kind words and stuff. But man, oh man, 46 years old. What a terrible thing to say out loud as a true fact.
Super old.
How old's your friend Danny? He's 46. 46?
Were they nice, though? Did they kind of behave for the day and kind of prioritize you and all that?
No, but I think the thing that really stood out to me is how old I feel. You know what I mean? It's the what's the soreness? Why does that hurt? What, I slept. I had the audacity to stand up. I exercised 2 weeks ago. I mean, whatever it is, man. It's just dumb. But yeah, they're miserable.
I asked AI for some things that you could start doing now that you're super old. So here's what it just told me. Socializing. Many people enjoy spending time with family and friends, whether through gatherings, phone calls, or technology like video chats. It suggests you should get a hobby.
Got hobbies.
Gardening.
Nope.
Knitting.
Nope.
Painting.
Nope.
Woodworking.
Where's pickleball? Put that in there, AI.
Your Achilles will explode.
It says that?
Yes.
Damn it.
Again, I asked, what do super old people do? That's what
you put in super old. Just put in regular old.
No, I said, what are things that super old people do?
Yeah, I'm just regular old, not super.
Volunteering. Some super old adults give back to their communities through volunteer work at local organizations or charities. I don't mean to be mean, but I can't see you doing that at all.
Well, it depends on the kind of volunteer work. Like, I've coached a million times. I'm happy to coach kids, or I'll like referee the local basketball league.
That's not a volunteer thing. There's some money that changes hands. Lessons, baseball lessons?
Oh, no, that's not volunteer at all. That's paid work. Yes. I'm talking about like coaching local kids and your
sons. You don't charge their mom for that.
No, I'm saying, you're talking about when I'm old?
No, right now, Danny Ruye.
Oh, right. Well, I have volunteered to coach my kid and their friends in games.
My kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Here's another one. Traveling.
If health permits.
How's your health, Hootier?
I guess not that great.
Many enjoy traveling to visit. This is tough.
To visit
family, friends, or a new place. Here's a good one.
I want to visit a new place.
You'll actually like this one, bud.
Okay.
Reading.
I miss reading.
You should read. Super old people. It's just funny.
That's what it says.
Often spend time reading books, magazines, or newspapers. You won't read the newspaper.
Newspapers.
Here, I found it. This is it. Exercise.
Yeah.
Staying active is important.
Mm-hmm.
Many engage in walking.
Yep.
Swimming?
Nope.
Yoga?
Yeah.
Or gentle fitness classes?
Gentle fitness classes.
No pickleball. Attending classes. Lifelong learning is common. Many take classes or workshops and subjects of interest.
Can I tell you?
Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I have.
Participate in a club? You could, like one of those like Red Hat clubs or whatever where all meet at Burger King in the morning?
Yeah. By the way, those are always so weird, man. You get like the deep suburbs or some sort of like out of the way place, and like you stop at Starbucks on a road trip and there's just a social club that's
it's like
there.
30 guys in the same outfit.
Like, why are you guys here? What was the one you said a second ago? I had a bit about it.
I just got rid of it.
Damn it.
Was it gentle exercising?
No. After that. Whatever was after gentle exercising.
Socializing?
Damn it. It's gone.
That was a while ago.
Then the bit flew away. Point is, thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
And stick
aside. Happy birthday. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. And it was cool to see so many different people. I had a couple stand-up shows this weekend.
Yes.
Like, so many people from our show came.
No way.
Which I thought was so nice. Yeah, I'll list them off. Ready? Grant. And it was great to see you.
Thank you.
It was so fun.
Well, in fairness, you were nowhere near Toby and you're nowhere near Darius.
I know. So, like, it would have been such a pain in the butt for Darius to go.
So, the show on
huge
Saturday.
Huge pain in the butt for Toby to go.
Saturday was right near within 5 minutes of my house.
Yeah. So, living, it wasn't a matter of inconvenience.
Friday was not near me, but it was near, wasn't near Darius.
Wasn't near Darius. Was it near, no, wasn't near Toby.
Was it walkable for anyone?
Did you
perform in the front yard of anyone who works here?
Like, if you picked up a rock, and you shouldn't, because this would be vandalism, but you could throw it from the one building to where I was, it seems like.
So, you're, Ryan. What about Clara?
He didn't do that at any of my shows.
He was busy.
My big butt.
In fairness, the guy's got a life.
He does.
He's got a girlfriend.
I kid. He's got plenty of stuff going on. I always feel bad, making it seem like anybody has to come.
Well,
to
before
anything.
You feel bad, let me read you a text from this weekend. So Clary hits me up after he didn't go when the thing was right at his house.
Yeah, he was talking a big game about going.
Friday. So the next day, Saturday, he knew it was near my house. And he said that his girlfriend was interested in going. And he's like, what if we came over? And we went. And I was like, yeah, cool. Thinking either come to my place first, pregame, go over there, whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that'd be super fun. We should do that. So I didn't hear from him the entire day the next day. But also I'm not hitting him up every hour of the day. I'm with the kids and I'm at the preseason game. And I'm busy.
Of course.
But then, the plan is we're going to go to the comedy show on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So as I get there, I don't see him or his girlfriend. And then I'm sitting down and I still don't see them anywhere. And I'm like, hey, are you guys still coming? Now, good news, bad news here.
Okay.
Bad news is he did not text me and say they were not coming.
Oh, okay.
So there's a chance that they're still coming. But I guess that would be the good news. That's the good news. The bad news is he didn't respond at all at any point until I saw him today when he walked into the studio. That was the next time I communicated with him. So they also didn't come to the time that I was going with them to the comedy show. But
here's my big butt.
I enjoyed myself, and you missed a heck of a show. Danny killed it.
I know, I did. Now, I'm a bad friend, I'm a bad colleague, and I take full responsibility.
Well, certainly wasn't blaming Darius.
I know.
You have nothing to feel bad about.
It's okay, buddy.
But it's not about.
I can see by your sunburn, you sat by the pool for 15 hours this weekend. What else did you do?
That's it.
Yeah.
Look, you owe us nothing when you leave this building.
Seriously.
Sit by the pool.
It's all good, man.
Do what your girlfriend says. The basic stuff over the weekend that you're going to do, you should do that. You don't need to go see Danny do stand-up. You see him do stand-up here.
I was going to say, 30 hours a week, you're stuck in a room with me. We're all good, buddy.
But,
come to the next workout, maybe.
So you can make him throw up?
We could do that.
No, I mean, you're going
to throw up.
You're going to bail again.
No, I could throw up. I could do that.
You could, but you bailed on us last week.
He would never Christian. This week, I'll do it.
You're Garething.
Not corporate Clary. The Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny. 5 o'clock, we're going to kick off our series all week long, every single day at 5. We get you ready for a fantasy football draft, break down another position. We'll talk quarterbacks today with Jamie Eisenberg. That's in 1 hour.
Here's my big butt.